Welcome to the Parkway Life Church podcast. Thank you for taking time to let God's Word impact you. You're always encouraged to know God is touching lives through this ministry. Please visit parkwaylife.com to let us know. You can also hit the Giving tab to sow into the ministry that you are experiencing. Now, prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
So, Genesis 15 and verse 5 says this. He's talking about Abram, and he has not yet been called Abraham, and that's a message, but, and he brought him forth abroad and said, this is the Lord to Abram, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. In other words, I'm going to give you as many kids as you see the stars in the heavens, I'm going to give you that many children. And to date, he did not have any children. Genesis 16, next chapter, verses 1 through 5, we see this come into play a little bit more. And I'm jumping in the middle of both of these stories. But now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Now he had a promise from God, but folks, by this time, they're way up in age. And if you're a Bible person, you know, I mean, like, they're on up in age past child-rearing years. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. So he was marrying, so this was outside of his faith. This was outside of all the different things, that the lines that they were not supposed to cross as far as outside of their faith. But look what happened. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I can't have kids, I guess. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. That must mean what God meant. Let me work this out. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. That always just tickles me. But anyways. You may be seated. We're real here. Is that okay? You got to read the Bible and understand what's going on. They're real people there. Real regular people. We sometimes get to thinking they had halos over their head. No, they didn't. They were just like you and I. This week, one of the greatest columnists and thinkers in the history of America died. I was so sad to hear, and I knew he was dying about a week ago when he sent out a column. But he is just one of my favorite writers because he's a thinker. He's a thinker. And he died at the age of 68, and I'm sad to hear that. And if you know the gentleman's name I'm about to call, you'll feel, I'm sure, the way I do. His name is Charles Krauthammer, and just absolutely brilliant. When he came on the screen, I stopped what I was doing to listen to what he was saying. He was smart. I loved it that he was balanced. He was gifted. Just a phenomenal guy. And I have his picture on the screen here. But in the first year of his schooling or studying medicine, he was at Harvard Medical School. He was chasing a psychiatry degree or his doctorate there. And Krauthammer had a tragic accident that just shocked everyone around him when he stood up on a diving board in a pool and jumped and went a little far and hit his head in the wrong way on the bottom of the pool and was paralyzed. Very, very sad. Spent 14 months. He was in his first year of medical school, and he spent 14 months recovering in the hospital. And just, can you imagine the process? When I say recovering, I don't mean he got his use of his legs and arm and all. I'm not saying that. He worked his way through the struggle of what life had dealt him. But he went on. He graduated from Harvard, an accomplished did incredible in his grades. And from that point on, the rest of his life, I don't have time to go through this, but he won so many awards, and one of them being the Pulitzer Prize winner, and just phenomenal. Many of you have seen him on Fox News. He was a writer for Walter Mondale in his run for presidency, writer for other people. He just incredible speechwriter, incredible thinker and all that stuff. But why did I tell you all of that stuff here today? And that is, I want to preach to you for a few minutes, and I want to preach to you, never settle for less. Never settle for less. And what jumps out to me about Charles Krauthammer is I enjoyed hearing him and I enjoyed his wisdom, but never once did I hear him on screen say anything about what he was up against that it made him less of a man. But he spoke with words that made people both on the right and the left side of the aisle take notice. In other words, what I'm saying, he did not compromise what he wanted to do in life because he had a setback. And man, for that, I stand up and salute him. He was a fighter. He was a winner. He was someone that said, life gave me a setback, but I am not going to stop moving forward. And he did not. And he had great accomplishments in his life. I would like to speak to you today to encourage you. I would like to speak to you today to inspire you, but also to get under your skin a little bit. And I want to tell you this in your life, in every person that's in this room today and who may watch this in the future, and that is this: do not compromise the victory in your life because you feel temporary defeat. Somebody say, I receive that. Do not. Turn around and tell a neighbor, say, do not compromise victory in your life because of temporary defeat. Parents, do not quit standing in the gap for your kids because they are whining instead of winning. Are you with me today? I'm here to preach to you today. Wives, do not compromise your passion for your husband because you seemingly have lost that love and feeling. Husbands, don't compromise your love for your wife because she's walking through a weird season in her life. Don't compromise victory for temporary setbacks. I speak it in the name of Jesus. I am asking this church to not give up on God because you don't see God, because you don't feel God. Let me just go ahead and warn you right now. You are going to walk through seasons that you do not feel God. Sorry about that. I know when you signed up in Christianity, you thought you was going to have warm fuzzies all the time. If I worship God just based on the fact of when I got goosebumps, I would have quit serving God a long time ago. I serve a God, but even when I can't see him, when I can't track him, when I don't get him, when I don't understand him, when I can't figure him out, yet, Job said, yet will I praise him. I'm going to understand this, and that is this. I don't understand him, but I do know this. He loves me. I said, he loves me. Somebody needs to understand, he loves you. Your setback does not mean that he does not love you. Hallelujah. You got to stay in the fight. You got to stay in the gap. Somebody get on your feet and praise God right now. Can you do that? Praise God right now. Hallelujah. Never settle for less. You don't, boy, I'm about to preach today. I'm just going to tell you right now, call somebody else, blame it on a fire alarm. I don't care what you do. Somebody done pulled my fire alarm right now. You hear me? Let me just tell you something. Let me tell you something. Don't, boy, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Don't prostitute yourself to the enemy because you're in a season of a low point in your life. I feel that right now to just speak that to somebody. We have gotten in the era right now that we go through a little struggle and then we start prostituting ourselves and setting ourselves up for failure in the next stage of our life because we're down, we're broken, and we're struggling, and we start prostituting ourselves and we're settling for less. God said if you would wait on him for a minute, he will bless you, but you gotta stop. You gotta wait. You gotta understand that God loves you beyond your defeat. Hallelujah. Don't compromise in the now based on where you're at, but always look back on the history of God's goodness in your life. How many of you would just attest and say, God's been good to you? Oh, man, come on now. If you don't have your hands up, you need to have a sit-down party with God. Write your the promises and the blessings of God out, and you'll come back different next week. I'm telling you, how many of you, God's been good to you? I know you've had some setbacks. How many of you made some really dumb decisions? How many times did you think about blaming God on it? No, I understand. And sometimes we blame God for everything. We blame God for everything, and God's saying, wait a minute, it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. I loved you when I knew what you would be. I'm crazy about you. I'm doing the good in your life. Don't blame me for the hurt that maybe decisions that you've made or what life brought you. No, I'm here to pick you up and carry you into the better, not the less. He will carry you into what he wants you to be and the better person than you currently are. I'm preaching to someone today that is thinking, that is settling for the less in your life. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and get you a different husband and go out and get you a different spouse and trade your kids in and get some new ones. I'm saying this, wherever you're at in life, you need a new spirit, a new heart, a new mind, a new soul, a new anointing that understands something, that where I'm at, God's got a better place that he's wanting to take me. Man. Boy, I am fixing to pull an audible on all of the folks running the folks back there. I'm jumping to the end of my message because the Lord just spoke to me and said, jump to the end of your message. Let me get there. It's Numbers chapter 32 and verse 5. Now, that doesn't mean I'm almost finished because I may go back to the first of my message. But right now, this is where I'm supposed to go right now. Is that all right? It's Numbers chapter 32 and verse 5. And it's a unique story. And that is the children of Israel have been traveling through the desert and they've been struggling and all the turmoil for years and years and years. And they make a request at a unique point that if you and I were there, it would make sense, their request and what they made, but it was a crazy request. And on this side of it, looking back with 2020 vision, we say it sounds foolish, but it's so where we are probably a high percentage of the time. And this is the children of Israel. They're right on the verge of going into the promised land. They have one river before they get there, and that's called the Jordan River. Now watch what happens. In Numbers 32 and 5, he says this, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. The people of Reuben and Gad said to Moses, do not take us across the Jordan.
You got to understand, folks, they've been struggling, fighting, hoping, wishing, walking, serving God, doing all these things, failures, mistakes, victories, life, okay? 40 years, struggle, folks have died off. We've got all kind of history here, and we're standing, and we're doing it all to get to a place called the Promised Land. And we get here, and Reuben and Gad, two of the tribes out of the 12, look at Mo and say this, do not take us across the Jordan. Now, it makes sense if you look at what's going on at the time. They were, the tribes of Reuben and Gad had huge herds, and God had blessed them. And the land that they were staying at, which was Gilead and Jazer, had lush pastures. And it was on this side of Jordan. It's on the east side of Jordan. And God had called them and promised them the west side of Jordan, a land flowing with milk and honey, a beautiful place that they want to be a part of. And they get there and say, we really take everybody else and give it to the offspring, give it to somebody else, give all our inheritance to somebody else, but we're going to keep our herds and we're going to stay on the lush side, the east side of Jordan. We're going to set up camp here. And rather than wait on the Lord and receive the best of what has been planned for them and promised for them, on the west side of Jordan, they settle for what is standing right in front of them. And how human is that? To stop right on the verge of the promise that God has for us, and the big moment and the big promise and the big victory in your life, and stopping because in your spirit you think this is the best that you can do. And because God has blessed in this season, you don't think that he can take you to a new season. But this season of blessing was only a setup to get you to go into the promise, go across the Jordan, and have a history for generations and heirs to come of blessings that will stay in the family, land that will be blessed. And because they chose this side, I'm not saying they were not blessed on this side. I'm not saying good things didn't happen on this side. But if you look back in history, you will find they were continually tormented by invaders on this side because they never crossed over Jordan into the protected promised land. And what happened is they learned to settle for less. And sometimes there will be things and seasons of your life that things will present itself to you, and you will find blessings within that season. But you got to know and you have to understand that just because you're being blessed here does not mean that's all God has for you, because the better that you're in, God has the best inside of his will for your life. His will of in your life, he's not going to curse you and beat you up and badger you because you stayed on this side. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about not joining the kingdom of God. I'm talking about you're living for him, but you're just always stopping short of the greatness that God has for you. Can I just tell you this? I say this kind of junk a lot and probably get sick of it. I love this new building that God has given, minus the fire alarm going off. But I love what God's doing us. But you better think you got another thing coming. If you think that I have gotten officially settled in and I think it's good and we got a beautiful facility and we've got this and we've got that. Now let's sit on, as my daddy would say, and Scott gets tickled at this what my daddy uses for the language you use. You think I'm going to sit on my haunches? If you don't know what that is, don't look it up. I don't even know what it says. Please don't Google it. But you think I'm going to sit on my haunches on this side of the Jordan when God has so much more? I'm going to tell you right now, for my day, I'm going to preach to risers that are not full yet. I'm going to preach to places that are not full yet. You know why? There's people just like you hungry for the promises of God, the miracles of God. There are visitors here today. You've never walked in this building, and you're freaked out probably because this guy is screaming and he's hollering and he's live and he's vibrant and he's excited. But don't let that freak you out. I'm just saying. Don't let that freak you out. Everything else that you love is excited in your life. Shouldn't your pastor be? Because the greatest mission of all our life is not to score a soccer ball and not to shoot the hoop and make it go through. The greatest mission we have in life is seeing souls step across the Jordan into their promised land. I'm excited about what God is doing in people's lives. Oh, I'm excited about it. And I know that there's struggle. And I know that there's struggle in the fact of wanting to compromise and say, God, well, I'll just stay here. And I'll just give up here. And maybe this is all I'm destined to be. I talked to a lady, and I'll never mention her name, but I talked to her this morning, and I said, listen to me. I know you've went through a tough season. I know that divorces and you're going through D and it ain't the big Dallas. That's a country song. And I know you go, but I gotta tell you this, don't settle. Don't settle in your tomorrows because of your brokenness now. And then you're in a huge moment of decision. And I'm not speaking just that person, but in the church, we're in a huge decision if we are going to take the land, because God set us up, man. He set us up. Are we going to take the land, or are we going to get comfortable in the lush lands of Gilead? I'm going to tell you, as for me and my house, I'm going to stir up revival. I want to stir up revival in everybody around me and say, listen, come on, Cameron. Come on, Cameron. You a young man with Converse on. We can run. We can get across this Jordan. We can win victory in the name of Jesus Christ. The devil can't keep us from what God has for us. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? And I'm going to tell you this, the grass is always greener on the east side of Jordan. I'm not telling you that there's not struggle there, but I am telling you that God has called you to that point. So don't give up. Don't compromise with what your eyes see in the now, but move forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Why be east of Jordan when I can be in the land of milk and honey in our lives? There's a story that I love. It's a story about a bear that had this struggle that he wanted to live. You know, that's what the animal kingdom is, always in this struggle to live and not be eaten. But he's pretty high on the food chain. But there is a man out there with a gun that has come, and he's cold, and he wants the bear's fur for the winter. And so he lifts his gun, and he sees the bear, and he's just about to shoot so he can get the bear's fur to make him, help him be warm in the winter. And he's just about to do this when the bear raises his paw and says, can I have a word with you? You know it's going to be a deep story when bears start talking. And the bear raises his paw and says, can I have a word with you? He said, why are you doing what you're about to do? He said, well, I'm cold, the hunter says. I'm cold and I need your fur for the winter to keep me warm. And he said, all right. He said, well, let me tell you something, hunter. I'm hungry. And I need you. And I need to I need to get a bite of you and have you for supper and carry you back to my den because it'll help me stay warm in the winter. And he says that the hunter lifted his gun and said, no, I've got to do this. And the bear lifted his paw and says, let's work out a deal. Let's compromise. I'll come over and I'll help find you game to feed you, but I'll put my arms around you to keep you warm. The moral of the story, well, it ended this way in this very true story that I'm telling you. The bear had supper, and the man is warm in the belly of the bear. If you compromise the mission God has for you, you end up compromising to sin, and what you didn't intend to eat you begins to destroy you in the process of the compromise. I just settled for less. Is there any great sin to settling for less? Seemingly not. But when I allow my compromise to cause me to settle for sins in my life, I want to say something, and I'm speaking from my heart right now. I really am. I'm so off my notes, it's scary. But I'll tell you this. We get in the middle of life, and we start letting things into our world that begins to break us down and allows us to settle. And I'm really speaking in the name of Jesus for you today. And I'm raising up a flag in your life to tell you this. Don't let all the little things in your life continue to break you away and break you down from the love of God. If social media is destroying you, would you do me a favor? I know you think you can't live without it. Hit the off button and turn that joker off. If social media is causing you to compare yourself among yourself and you're living in depression that you don't have what the Joneses have and the Johnsons have and whoever else, and God, I don't know why the Jones and the Johnsons got everything. But if you're constantly struggling with whatever, turn that thing off. If you're struggling why your wife is not as pretty as my wife, I understand that. But turn it off. What God has given you, He intended for you to have. He blessed you with. See the fruit and the goodness of what you have and let God bless you more in the process. Quit compromising your love for your wife, your love for your husband, your love for your children, your love for God over anything that would cause you to lose and cause you to settle for less in your life. I love the story about a man. One time he wanted to be a rancher, and he wanted to have cattle, but he lived in New York, and so while he was in New York, he sold everything he had, came to Texas and bought a ranch, and so he decided that he was going to name his ranch, and then he was going to brand his cattle. Well, somebody came later on, and they came through, and they didn't see any cattle anywhere. I mean, they looked around. They said, we can't find cattle. I don't know what's going on. So they looked at him and said, hey, ma'am, did you ever decide for a name for your ranch? And the guy said, yes, we actually did. And he said, we had a little problem in the process of trying to decide in our family what the name of the ranch is going to be. He said, I wanted it to be called the Bar J Ranch. And the guy said, well, that sounds good. He said, but I had an issue. My wife really favored the Susie Q. And he said, okay. And then he said, my son, he liked the Flying W. And he said, and then my daughter, she wanted it to be the Lazy Y. And he said, well, can I ask you one other question? Now that you've told me that the name of this place is the Bar J Susie Q Flying W Lazy Y, where are the cattle? And he said, well, sir, I just got to tell you, they never survived the branding. That's pretty funny right there. He said, I'm not compromising, baby. We're going to bring it all in. I need you to get something in your spirit that stands up with the word of God in your hand and say, I will not compromise the word of God. Is that all right? I want every man to stand in this house today. I told you I'm way off on my notes. We've got back, forward, front, back, whatever. But I believe God's all up in what we're doing right now. I need the men in this room. And I know we're past Father's Day and all that stuff. But I need you. Is it all right that I just stop here just a second and tell the men something? I need you to understand your precious wife that is in this room, your spouse, your daughter, whatever it may be, is so hungry and desiring for you to be a leader like you've never led. Is that okay? Now, I know we've got all kind of women's this and women's that and women this. And, man, I better not say I love women. But I love ladies and what God has put into the ladies. But for right this second, I'm speaking to men. God called you to lead. And this generation, the devil is trying to push you in a corner and get you and I so wimpy that if we lead, we look like we're some idiots. If we lead, we look like we're being male chauvinistic. And even me speaking what I am, I'm having to put all kind of little things around it because of what our society is doing. Can I just tell you, I refuse to settle for the east side of Jordan. I need men in this generation to stand up. I need you to stand up. And I need you to, on Sunday morning, look at your family and say, everybody else may stay in bed, but as for me, I'm going to the house of the Lord. Guys, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Come on, come on. They need you to lead. A strong lady knows who she is in God. A strong lady knows what she believes. She believes in herself. Don't worry about that at the moment. I need you to something. I need you to become more like God and lead your family. And if you think I'm talking about with any idiot stuff, you got the wrong pastor. If you think I mean and walk through and rant and rave and be a fool in your house, that's the opposite of what I'm saying. I'm talking about I want you to have a relationship with God. I need you to have a prayer life. I need when you act out and not what you need to be, God convicts you and you fall by your bed and you repent and you get your life straight and you get back up and say, I'm not perfect, but I'm still going to be a leader. I, I know I sound like I should be preaching this message 50 years ago and not in 2018, but I really believe godly women want men to lead in this generation. And we're not going to settle for less. We're not going to settle for less. We're not going to settle for less. And I want you dudes to sit down, and I want the chicks to stand up. I'm going to tell you, you ladies, God has placed upon your head an anointing, an ability to pray and seek the face of God for your families. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm calling you to prayer. I'm calling you to not to settle. I'm calling you to let you know that this, you are a godly woman. That doesn't come from Vogue. That does not come from Cosmopolitan. That does not come from somebody on either side of the aisle telling you what you should be while they're painted up and flaunting themselves and acting like fools. I'm telling you, God called you to be a woman. You know who you are. You lift your head. You understand the church has always been about letting women understand the greatness of who you are. You don't settle for less. You don't settle for less. You're nobody that's pushed in a corner that the world has forgotten about. I don't know where all that come about. My mama raised me, and my mama was a strong woman. Now she's sweet as can be, and she has a soft voice, but she has a look. And when she looks, I say, yes, ma'am. And I'm 49, and I still say, yes, ma'am. And can I tell you, my sweet wife, she leads. And this, I'm talking about Adina. She leads with confidence. She leads with anointing. She has a walk with God. She helps lead our children and guide them. You wonder why I've got 3 kids in the house of God? I've got a wife that loves God, has teaching. Hold on a second. That is teaching my kids, and we make mistakes by this, and we may be judged that we're not doing it correctly, but we're leading our kids, trying to teach them modesty and trying to teach them importance of being in the house of God and loving God. And I've got to tell you, I've got 3 kids. They're not perfect, but they believe in what God has called them to be, because my wife stood in that house understanding who you are. You got to understand, ladies, you're not a failure. You don't have to prostitute yourself out there to any man. God's called you to be who you are. Don't you settle for less. I want the ladies to say, I am who I am, because God made me who I am. Boy, I'm doing good. And I probably have everybody in the house nervous. I'm the only one that's not nervous. But I'm going to tell you, women, you're perfect just the way God made you. Men, you better say amen right now, because she listening. She listening. I mean, just the way you are. You don't need tucked and puffed and God. That's funny right there. God made you just the way you are. And I'm going to tell you, we want you to take care of yourself, but God called you. You're beautiful just the way you are. And God's got, I don't care what anybody else's house looks like. It's for you. You look just the way God called you to be. He shaped you. He formed you. And us guys, we love it, and we believe in you, and we respect, listen to me, we respect your femininity. We believe in who you are. You don't have to be a raging lunatic with a sign for us to respect you. We believe you. We care for you. You are an awesome woman of God, and you know that. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Guys, stand up with them just a minute. I'm using my pulpit today that God's called me to be. I'm just telling you, I didn't plan on some of what I'm saying, but God's called me to lead a church family. And he didn't call me to lead it just along with the times. He called me to lead it with the word of God. And the word of God calls you out to be something special just in who he's created you to be. And you're awesome, man. You're awesome. Don't let anybody tell you you're not awesome. God doesn't make trash. Don't you settle for less. Are you hearing me out there, church? You either love me or hate me right now, but I am telling you, we need somebody in this generation to stand up and say the way that the world is going is the way of the world. And the church of the living God is still built with godly men and godly women, and we can raise godly households and godly children. I know everything in hell is standing up against us, but I'm telling you, I've got a God standing in the gap for me. Got a God standing in the gap for me. Do you love Jesus today? Yes. Do you like me? Yes. Well, I just wanted to check. Turn around and tell somebody, say, he's not always this crazy. Say, sometimes it's worse. I believe in people. I believe in people. I think the strongest women are to be women in the church. I believe the strongest men are to be the men in the church. And if you're truly serving God, you're already swimming upstream, and so you've got a backbone. Don't let anybody tell you, well, Christians are just, they just, no, 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 no. We're the ones that says, I'm going across Jordan. Yeah. I'm telling you, we're going across Jordan. And I may have to fight. I may have to cling to everything I got. I may have to sweat. I may have to bleed. I don't know what the enemy looks like on the other side, but I'm going to tell you, God promised it, and if God promised it, we're going there. And I'm going to tell you, God has called us that families make it. They serve God. They live for God. And boy, I just got to check in my spirit. I'm going to just tell you something is, if you're wrestling with a spirit of depression on you today, the devil is telling you you're less. And I know there can be chemical imbalances and all of that other stuff, and I respect that. My wife and I very much respect that in the church. And so I understand medicine and all of those things, and God's helped us and supplied for that. But for just a minute, I'm talking about not that side of it, the mental health side of it. I'm talking about just the comparing yourself and the struggle. I'm 49 years of age. I think they call what I'm in midlife. And I just found out what that is. So I'm getting me a new Camaro with fuzzy dice. I'm gonna start unbuttoning my button way down here, getting me a gold chain. Daddy's gotta come alive. That's what I see everywhere else. Or I can know who I am in God in every season of my life. Is that all right? You're going, yes, 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 yes. Know who you are in every season of life. Because what happens when you start settling for yes, the depression starts setting in on you. And you start feeling less. And God's going, wait a minute. I want to pull you out of that. I want you to understand what you have, I blessed you with. Where you're at is what I felt like you could handle, and I make good decisions. And so listen, understand this is the promised land, and I'm going to continue to bless you, and I'm going to give you more, and I'm going to give you what you can handle. But I got to tell you, I love you in your now. I'm so far off my notes, it's unbelievable, it's scary. But I'm sick and tired of the divorce rate of the Church of the Living God being almost the same as the world. Is that all right? Somebody has got to stand in the gap. I'm sick and tired of church kids being as strong into pornography as the worldly kids. Something's got to change. Somebody's got to stand up and say, wait a minute, we got to stand in the gap. I prayed this week after a couple conversations with a few people. I realized, wait a minute, I've got to stand in the gap for some folks. And I preached about it a little bit on Wednesday nights. But it's not just me. It's you. It's godly men. It's godly women. If you're standing in the gap for your family, my hat's off to you. I want to give you an award. I want to pull the fire plug. I want to tell you, thank God for men and women in this generation. They don't care what anybody else thinks. You don't have to be your kid's best friend, but you're going to lead them to heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. Fight for your families. Fight for your family, man. Fight for your family. Eric, fight for your family, dude. Fight for your family. I don't mean fighting for your family, just making a good living. You guys are making good livings. You ladies are making. I'm talking about standing up and standing in your house. Putting prayer back in your house. Putting the word of God back in your house. I don't care if they roll their eyes 47 times. Roll it back to them and tell them about Jesus. Because what I'm going to tell you something. What the love that they're going to feel from you when they're older is the fact that you guided them when they were younger. If you let them run rampant, they'll hate you when they grow up. I'm not making this up. The word of God talks about it. But if you guide them right now, they feel the love and the guide rails that you are setting up. Don't settle for less. Never settle for less. Whew. If you think I'm just on a soapbox, I'm just trusting me to tell you I didn't mean to go there. But I will go where he calls me. And I will go where he calls me. And so listen, I want you right now to step out into an aisle closest to you or step into this front. And I want you to do something. If you will take a step and take a step for your family and take a step for your church and take a step for your God and step out and say, I don't care what the world says, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to settle for less. I'm going to give God my very, very best. If you'll make that decision and make that call, would you step out in the aisle closer to you or in this altar and just do it quick. I don't want you to take an hour to try to decide it. Either you want it or not. Either you step across the line, either you draw a line in the sand or not. And then I want you to do something. I want you to, from the back to the front, to turn this place into a time and a moment of prayer. And I want you to settle some things with God. And I want you to rebuke some things in your life by the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you need to rebuke the enemy. Some of you need to stand up and rebuke the enemy and say, you're trying to cause me to stay on the east side when God's got the west side. From the back to the front, look at this church. You've made some conscious decisions. Now, all across this building, right where you are, just stop where you are. And throw your hands up in the air right now. And I want you to settle some things in God. That God, I'm going the west side. Forgive me for settling, but I'm going the west side. I'm going the promised land. I'm going to take it up, God. I'm going to fight for my family. I'm going to fight for my grandkids. I'm going to give you my best, God. I'm going to give you my best, God. I need young people to throw your hands up right now. I don't care if there's even sin in your life. And I want to just say, God, forgive me. And I'm walking away from the evil, from the sin. I'm moving into the presence of God. I want some of you to step away from the depression the enemy has had you in and step into the victory that God's called you to be right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I want some of you to step away from the failure the devil's had you linked in and move into the victory that God's called you to be. Come on right now, please. Make that step. Make that all across this church. All across this church. All across this church. Hallelujah. Would you close your eyes right now and think about nothing but Jesus Christ? Thinking about nothing, the fact he never settled for less when he paid the price for you. He gave you his all. And I'm asking as a church that you'd be all in for him right now. Right now. Right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I rebuke every depression. I rebuke every enemy. I rebuke the spirit that's tried to attach itself to some of our homes. God, I'm standing in the gap. Our men, our women are standing in the gap. God, hallelujah, I'm standing in the gap for those that are not strong enough to stand in the gap. I'm standing in the gap for them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you to rise up in people's lives. Rise up in people's spirit. Rise up in people's makeup of who they are. And let them know who they are in God. They are winners in the name of Jesus. They're winners and they're friends. I want you to pray for a neighbor. I want you to, and the way we do that in the church is maybe we lay a hand on a shoulder if you feel comfortable doing that. We grab a hand, whatever it is. And I want you to pray. I want you to pray that they settle, never settle for less in any area of their life. In any area, nothing, nothing. They never settle. That God is calling them and they're going to step into the best that God has for them. Right now, come on and pray over them with a burden. I know some of you are walking through some Hades in your life. God's calling you to a higher place. He's calling you to a higher place. He's calling you to a higher place. He's calling Parkway to a higher place. He's calling us to a new place. Come on, worship leaders, seek the face of God. Lead us in worship. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, lead us. Hallelujah. 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 I need God in my family. I need God. I need God in my children. I need God in my leading. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. What an awesome, famous God. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you in the name of Jesus. 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 I know we're taking a minute here, but we're in the presence of the Lord. God is trying to seal what I've been preaching. He's trying to heal what I've been calling you to right now. Tarry with me in the Holy Ghost. Tarry with me in the spirit. Hallelujah. How many of you, I don't need this affirmation, but I'm doing it for a reason. How many of you right now say, God just use you to speak into my life. I want you to get your hands up and I want you to leave it up. It may not be everybody and I trust that. Don't you? I want you to say this. I want you to say, I will not settle for less. Come on, say it again. Say, I will not settle for less. I will, not settle. I will never settle for less. In the name of Jesus Christ. I speak affirmation over you today. I speak healing over you today. I pray God heals depression in this room. I pray God affirms your life. He speaks into your life. Some of you come from such broken homes and such broken situations. My heart weeps for you. But you don't have to carry on into the next generation and even into your todays and to your tomorrows. And you're thinking the brokenness that was placed on your life. I want you to shake that off and say, that is not for me. The words that have been spoken to me are not of God, but the words that are of God are of life and liberty and healing and restoration. In Jesus' name. And somebody say, I claim it in the authority of the name of the Lord. The enemy is learned, and he's become smart and secret ways of coming in the back door of people's lives and bringing them down and pulling them down and destroying their life. But how many would raise your hand and say, I'm standing in the gap today for my family, my friends, my church, my neighbors. There's people on your street that are hurting. There's people on your street that are broken. You are the missionary to the area that God has called you to live. Stand in the gap. Stand there. Pray over your families and your neighborhoods. Walk the streets. Get healthy and walk the streets. And as you do it, reach your hand out and just be blessing every house you walk by. Stand in the gap saying, I know hell's fighting them, but I've got a God on me that I'm anointed by God to speak life, liberty, healing, and restoration in the name of Jesus. And every man said, in Jesus' name. And every woman said, in Jesus' name. And every student say, in Jesus' name. Come on, students, say, in Jesus' name. Amen. What a God. What a God. Thank you for letting me preach to you today.